Our first lesson for today is from the first chapter of Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The second lesson for today is from the first chapter of John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these?" And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, may your word find a place in our minds and a home in our hearts. Amen. Well, at church that morning, little Timmy sat in worship with big open eyes, and he watched the baptism of the church's newest members. When he got home, he was very keen to try out what he had learned that day by baptizing the cat. Oh, yes, not an easy task, to be sure, but probably one made even more complicated by the fact that little Timmy was Southern Baptist. Oh, full immersion would be the only baptism that would count for the cat. Timmy grabbed the already protesting cat and he headed for the bathroom baptismal tub. The cat hissed. The cat clawed. The cat scratched. And with a heaving, growling growl, he shot from Timmy's arms and ran out the door. Timmy, saddened by the fact that his cat refused baptism and would therefore never enter eternal life, went to his father. After he explained all the scratches on his arms and on his face, Timmy finished his story and said, "I tried, Dad, I really did, but I couldn't dunk the cat like the preacher dunked at church. All I could do was sprinkle a little on his head." Timmy's dad laughed, and he was heartened. He reached out to the boy, and he said, "Ah, Timmy, son, don't worry. The cat's a Presbyterian." We all have different ways of doing things, don't we? Yes, we do. Different ways of doing baptism across the spectrum of Christianity. Baptists, dunk, full immersion. Presbyterians, sprinkle. But I wonder what would happen if we took the suggestion, the partially joking suggestion of Reverend Maxwell Grant, who kind of jokingly proposed once that instead of baptism by water, maybe we do baptism by skydiving. That's different. What if instead of a little chaste sprinkling of water on the forehead, or even a full immersion on the banks of a local river or something in between, what if the only way to join a church, the church, was by skydiving? I see a lot of atheists being born. There's no atheism in foxholes, and I doubt there's very much when you're dropping from however many feet. But he says, think about it. Free fall, then the ripcord, and then a gentle floating down to the ground. What is not theological about that? Because what are the reality of sin and redemption and the dangerous thrill of falling and the great vista of salvation and the recognition that our lives are not really in our own hands if they aren't like skydiving? Imagine what it would mean to go through that experience with its terrors and its rushes and its ultimate relief. And then to show up at church on Sunday to be greeted by a room full of people who had been through all of that too. Community. Think how you would see them all as you walked in and found your pew. The older couple that maybe always sits up front and shares a hymnal. The super cheery soprano singer in the choir. The lady who always cooks an army for the potluck. The guy who circles typos in the bulletin every Sunday and then returns them to the office. The guy who seems as if he comes because his deceased wife liked it. And he may or may not miss Jesus, but he knows he misses her. Think how you would see them all. The heavy, the creaky, the busy, the young and the old, the happy and the sad, the people you will find in every church, any church, on a Sunday. Think how you would see them all if being baptized meant that at some point, however many years before, they had each had that day. That day when they had somehow summoned up enough courage to leap out into thin air and into the hands of God. Maybe Reverend Grant has a point. Baptism is a common thread to all of us, though most of us don't remember it or associate it with any kind of life-threatening or life-changing experience. But it is. It is life-changing. And we believe that no matter how it's done, in baptism we inherit the same life-changing spirit, that we are sealed into the same life-changing covenant and are part of the same promises that were revealed in Christ Jesus on that day in the Jordan. That story is our story too. And it may not seem as life-threatening as skydiving, but if you're used to living a certain way and suddenly remember your baptism, it can be threatening to the way that you're used to living your habits. Life-changing, life-threatening baptism. That is the story that we inherit when we accept and or confirm the sealing of the sacrament made for us. Another common feature of our faith is found in the one described to us in John's Gospel today. When following his baptism, Jesus decides to go to Galilee, and he finds and calls Philip and Nathanael. Imagine being in Philip's shoes for a moment when he meets Jesus and accepts the call to follow. Just like baptism, a life-changing, life-habit-threatening moment. Imagine his excitement. Imagine his thrill. Imagine his rush. Try to match it when he runs to Nathanael and he exclaims, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Imagine his confusion, his consternation, his possible disappointment, when the only thing Nathanael replies with is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" What an odd, sad, and disconcerting way to greet the greatest good news. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And friends, this brings me to a moment I wish I didn't have to face. If you notice in the bulletin and on the sign this morning, the sermon title, conversation starter title, is "Hello?" And when I originally sat down and started studying the scriptures, it was supposed to be a play on "Hello, it's your calling calling." Hello. But then something happened this week that kind of put me on a different track. And it's a moment that I wish I didn't have to face, but it is a moment which cannot be ignored because it is so rare a moment indeed when on the same Sunday that we read a section of gospel, this section of gospel in particular, the same week that our lectionary prescribes these verses, we are faced this week with a very high elected leader naming some of our poorest, most rural, and disadvantaged nations as words I won't utter from the pulpit. I bring this up this morning not to offend or to engage in political discourse on this fine Sunday morning. That's not my job. But it is my job to point out theology. I want to point out the ways in which God is funny like that. God is funny like that. I want to use it as an example of the way that our God works. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Africa? Or Haiti? Or El Salvador? To us and to Nathanael, the answer is clearly yes. More than that, though, too often, we can only see the struggles. Too often, we can only see the insurmountable difficulties. Too often, we can only see the piling disadvantages that we begin to lose all hope for the places that we were talking about, and also sometimes for ourselves. I can see us wondering if any good can come out of all things, or certain things at all. Sometimes we can look at ourselves and wonder the same thing with all of our struggles and all of our setbacks, all of our disillusions and our disappointments and our depressions. Can anything really good come of us? And yet, that is exactly what is promised in our baptism. No matter how lost we get, no matter how beat down and troubled, no matter how burdened with the sin that we carry, good can come from us. We are made clean and we're restored over and over and over again in the baptism of water and spirit. And even more, our call every day is to believe in that promise, to believe that good can come, to have faith that all things work to good for those who love the Lord. And then to take that faith and to take that belief and to put it straight into those things that make the good work. Reverend Dr. Patrick Keene is the pastor of our Savior Lutheran Church over in Milwaukee, and he has a really great way of putting it. He says, when remembering our baptism, he says, "I want the anointing and the evidence of my baptism to be overflowing and so powerful that I leave wet footprints from my soggy shoes." And that's how he wants to go about the work of faith, the work of good in the world. Let's go with that kind of calling. Let's go with that kind of faith. Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, and we remember and we reaffirm our own calling and our own baptism. When in the Presbyterian Church, when the sacrament of baptism is administered, we sprinkle water on the head of the baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we also ask certain questions of those being baptized. In the case of babies or small children, we ask those who are offering these promises on their behalf. A confirmation, these questions are asked again and affirmed personally. For those who are blessed with the duty and joy of ordination, and for those who are serving as elders and deacons, those questions get added to, as we will do here shortly later on today. These questions that are asked are important questions, and they provide the framework of our faith. So I think today, as we remember our baptisms and we remember the baptism of the Lord and the call of disciples, that it's important that we remind ourselves over and over again and from time to time exactly what our baptism seals us to. We are asked, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Well, do we turn from the ways of sin and renounce the power of evil in the world? Do we turn from them in favor of turning to God? We ask, do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? Do we turn to Christ's call? Do we heed his example to bring grace and love to places where they are least expected? We ask, will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love, to which we always answer, I will with the help of God. Because that is indeed what we do, and ever and always and only with God's eternal help can we see the good that we can do. I'd encourage you this week and in the time to come to think on these questions and really consider your answer, especially when times seem rough and you find yourself wondering if any good can come of whichever blankety blank you find yourself. God can always come. Good can always be, because God is good and God is everywhere. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.